Welcome back to another study episode, listeners. This is going to be a lot more of a dry episode, and if you're able to play this episode multiple times, I 100% would. So today I'm going to be running through the terms put on the outline. So if you go to your outline, which is a mortgage.nationwidelicensingsystem.org, you can find like the test outline that honestly should be filled out before even taking the test. So today I'm going to cover its section C, terms used in the mortgage industry. I'm going to be covering the loan terms, the general terms, disclosure terms, and financial terms. And so we're going to start out with the loan terms section. So the first one that we're going to talk about is a junior lien. A junior lien is a junior mortgage is a home loan made in addition to the property's primary mortgage. So HELOC and equity loans are good examples. Subordinate loans are the loans that are not the primary loan on the property. So many times, and I'll talk about this later, there will be a subordination clause. And that'll say that if this house goes into default, that means that the home mortgage is paid off first before any other subordinate loan on the home. So each loan will have a position, and the mortgage, like the actual home payment to the mortgage company, many times will take the first position, if that makes sense. So a lot, like something to remember with this is that a lot of the terms actually really matter if the house goes into foreclosure. In an event of no foreclosure, rarely will any of these terms be even remembered, but a lot of this is if the person can't make the payments, then, you know, then there are these things that have to happen. The next term is escrow accounts. Escrow is a middleman who the money or deed flows through. They hold all the payments until conditions are met. They are a neutral third party, and they collect all the required documents, kind of a holding company and then a releasing company when conditions are met. A high-priced mortgage is if the APR exceeds the APOR by a certain percentage. So it's different, but you need to remember that the APR exceeds the APOR. For first lien mortgages, it's 1.5 exceeding. For subordinate liens, it is 3.5. And for jumbo loans, it is 2.5. So this is riskier for the lender and more expensive for the borrower. There's also more verification required by the lender for the borrower. So just more documents involved in it. And it'll be clear in disclosures that this is a high-priced mortgage. Table funding is loan funded by a lender until moved to a bank. The LawnSide website says, quote, advance of funds and loan is assigned to the person advancing the funds. A rate lock agreement is an agreement between a borrower and a lender so that the interest rate can be locked in by the borrower between the offer and the closing. So most likely it'll be 30 to 45 or 60 days. It will apply if you close in the appropriate time frame and there are no hangups. So the information about the rate lock will be in the loan estimate. So this is good if there's really nothing that would hold anything up, but if you if somehow there is a delay to closing, the lock will come off and a different interest rate may apply to the transaction, which can be either really good or really bad. So tolerances. So there's three types of tolerances. There's a 0%, there's a 10%, and then unlimited tolerance. So you'll see it said as 0%, 10%, or no tolerance, but that doesn't make any sense. It should be unlimited tolerance because it could be 100% or 200%. Instead of no tolerance, sounds like the same thing as zero tolerance, if that makes any sense. So I like to call it 0, 10, and unlimited, but you'll see sites that say 0, 10, and none. But so the 0% tolerances are fees paid to the creditor or broker, like origination fees. The creditor has control over those fees. Also fees that can't be shot for and transfer fees. 10% tolerances are the recording fees, unaffiliated third parties that are on the list that they can shop for. Unlimited tolerance changes can be for non-required services, prepaid interest, property insurance premiums, escrow item, and required services not on the list, like an affiliated, and can be shopped for. So you might be wondering, what is the list? The list is a list of the written service providers that is provided to the borrower. So legal title granted via a mortgage. So there's two different types. There's title theory and lien theory. Title theory is where the title is granted when the lien is sufficient and the lender holds onto the title. Borrower holds the equitable title and the lender has the legal title though. So it can, like, title theory and lien theory only come into play when the place goes into foreclosure. It's different how the house, how the property is taken back. Lien theory is where the borrower has legal title and the lender has a mortgage lien. So there is legal procedures that are required to take the title back in a case of foreclosure. So some title theory states include, and title theory is where the borrower holds the equitable title, include New York, Kansas, North Dakota, and Pennsylvania. Title theory states include Colorado, California, Mississippi, and Texas. Types of mortgages a lender cannot be forced to repurchase. And so this one is kind of confusing, but I wanted to read directly from the Fannie Mae selling guide. It says the lender represents and warrants that the mortgage being delivered is not a mortgage that was required to be repurchased by a secondary market investor, government-sponsored enterprise, or private institutional investor other than Fannie Mae for any documentation, underwriting, property valuation, deficiencies, and/or issues with the property, including project eligibility if the property is a condo, co-op, or PUD project, borrower credit, or other deficiencies for any other reason. These types of mortgages are not eligible for delivery even if the identified defect has been corrected by the lender. So it comes down to defects. Facts of the lien. Liens are monetary claims that may provide the creditor with rights to foreclosure. Liens can come in the form of voluntary liens or involuntary liens. A lien on the property that is junior or subsequent to another lien or liens. So that's like what I talked about before, subordinate liens. They have a position that comes in when things are being paid off or things are foreclosed on, who gets paid first. Many second mortgage lenders are unwilling to accept a subordinate lien position behind a loan that will potentially erode the equity in the house. Voluntary liens are when the owner gives consent to having the lien attached to the property, like a mortgage. You have a choice to buy a house, so it's a voluntary lien. Involuntary liens are like tax IRS liens, liens placed on you, obviously involuntarily. Mechanics liens have to do with construction and guarantee of payment to those involved in construction, even if it doesn't work out financially. So those are put against the property to make sure that people get paid, so those have to be paid off too. Liens are prioritized by when they are filed against the property. A delinquent lien is untimely payments. There may be a grace period to get the money together, but if the borrower doesn't pay, the loan will go into default. This will most likely happen for payments after a few missed or late payments. The consequences get more and more serious. I talked about foreclosure and delinquent loans in an earlier episode. I believe it was the RESPA episode that I talked about it in. But so go back and listen to that one if you want to hear more about that. So high cost loans. This is the one that gets kind of dicey. High priced is fairly straightforward as far as they go. High cost have different percentages and thresholds. So according to NOLO, and I put all the sources in the description, so click them, check them out, look in them, and then do some reading. It is if the APR is above a threshold, points and fees exceed a threshold, and if the prepayment penalties exceed a certain monetary amount or can be charged after a set time period. So there's these different tests and ways of doing it. So you can do it for, so this is the first way by mortgages. For first mortgages, it's 6.5%. If it is a first mortgage less than $50,000 and secured by other property, it is 8.5%, and if it is a subordinate lien, it's 8.5% also. You can determine if it's a high cost depending on the points and fees. So this is the second way. If it is 5% of the total amount, if it is equal to or greater than 21,549, and note that these numbers are subject to change depending on the year. And if it is less than the 20 grand amount, it is 8% of the loan amount or $1,000. So lastly, the high cost loan can be defined by prepayment penalty. If the penalty is more than 36 months after the loan is taken or exceeds 2% of the amount prepaid. So if you do get a prepaid mortgage, this will be put in disclosures, and there are a lot of restrictions around the fees that can be charged and things like that. Early payment default, I've seen it shortened down to EPD. So these are late payments within 90 days, or it goes into default within the first year. It can be a sign of mortgage fraud, and it is something that is tracked. Foreclosure, I talked about this, as I said before, a lot more on an earlier episode. But it means the process of culminating. So this is from the Law Insider Dictionary, and I really liked the way that they summed this up. It is a process culminating in the acquisition of title to a mortgage property in a foreclosure sale or by a deed in lieu of foreclosure or pursuant to any other comparable procedure allowed under acceptable requirements. So I just went through all the terms in the first section of the loan terms. The next one that we're going to cover, I'm going to jump around a little bit, are the general terms, starting with subordination. All right, so for the next section that we're talking about is the general terms. The first one is subordination, and it's the agreement that the mortgage lien takes priority over the other liens if foreclosed on. So that one would be paid first, and then the other ones in whatever order they hold. And that'll be determined what position, lien position, due to filing. Conveyance is transferring property using an instrument like a contract, lease, or deed that transfers the legal title over to the new owner. A cash-out refinance is where they take the equity that the borrower puts on the home and they can get cash from it and have a larger mortgage, or in exchange for a larger mortgage. It's different from the line of credit because the cash-out is a set amount given, and the line of credit acts more like a credit card. Prepaids are upfront payments at closing for expenses so you don't pay them later. They can include insurance, taxes, interest, and escrow deposit. Underwriting is part of the mortgage process. The lender evaluates if you are a risky chance and whether or not you will pay the loan. It is the final decision maker on whether or not you, like the borrower, will be given a loan. And there's two types of underwriting. There is automated and then there is manual. Automated, the information gets put into software and it's evaluated there. It is obviously much faster. The manual is if there's some weird circumstances. It's many times easier if a human does it because they can take into some consideration unique circumstances. And they look at credit, income, assets, and collateral in underwriting. Secondary markets are loans are where loans and servicing rights are bought and sold between lenders and investors. That's from Investopedia. Sold into securities for retirement plans, insurance companies, and hedge funds. Third-party providers are everyone except the loan originator, includes realtors, appraisers, people like that, lawyers, etc. The primary mortgage market is where borrowers can get mortgages. This is kind of the area in what we deal with. Consumer credit is where consumers can borrow money, and with the idea that the company that they are borrowing money from, they will have to pay it back in a certain way. Non-traditional mortgages do not have standard conventional characteristics, stuff that does not conform to like a standard, like standard amortization schedule. This is like balloon loans where you have a big payment right at the end, interest only where you might have negative amortization, stuff like that. So a mortgage lender lends the money to borrowers to purchase the home. Mortgage investors purchase the mortgages from the lenders to allow them to lend out more money many times this is government entities that will be doing this. Loan payment collection used by creditors to collect overdue and defaulted loans. This is a different company many times, and they are professionals at this. Many times judgments will be brought passed down, and that's a whole nother section that I can cover in a different episode on how what happens when a loan goes, like what collection is like, etc. Assumable loan from Investopedia. It says, assumable mortgages is a type of financing agreement whereby an outstanding mortgage and its terms are transferred from the current owner to a buyer. By assuming the previous owner's remaining debt, the buyer can avoid having to obtain their own mortgage. So this is just saying, I'm going to take on this debt, I'll pay it off so I don't have to go out there and get one, go through all those fees, etc. Examples of origination services include banks, credit unions, an assigned loan. This is a quote from Thomson Reuters Practical Law. A standard form deed of assignment under which the lender assigns its rights relating to a facility agreement, known as a loan agreement, to a new lender. Only the assigner's rights under the agreement are assigned. The assigner will still have to perform any obligations it has under the facility agreement or the loan agreement. Payment shock is big enough, a large enough increase in the amount of debt to cause the creditor or to cause the borrower to go into default. This happened in 2008 when the interest rates rose drastically and everyone's payments significantly went up. It can happen with the ARM mortgages. APR is the interest rate plus fees for borrowing money. Many times it is higher than the interest rate. And the APOR is the estimate of average APRs offered for prime mortgage loans. So those are the first two. Next week we're going to go through the disclosure terms and financial terms. All the sources for this episode will be in the comments below. Go ahead and check them out and make sure you listen to next week's episode where we cover the second part of this section. Thank you.